The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Wowie zowie, I don't know what to say. I can start with hello, Rolien.
Always a good start.
I mean, really, really, you guys? Yesterday, Netanyahu was saying, yeah, it's mine, I'm getting it, I'm forming a government. Now he's got fewer seats than he had yesterday. What is going on with your election?
Well, before we get into the election, we do have breaking news that affects another election, and it has just been announced that Mike Bloomberg has dropped out of the Democratic presidential race.
Wow.
And endorses Joe Biden. And you have to have deep pockets, guys, or mega sponsors to run for the presidency of the USA, because he has spent about $500 million of his personal fortune on this run. But let's talk That's a big shoe budget, but let's talk about the Israeli elections.
Yes.
You know, I just have to say something. When the exit polls started on Monday night, and I'm not a fan of looking at the TV channels to get the news. I prefer to get it straight from the counters themselves, the electoral commission that do the counting. I thought to myself, it's a little bit premature for President Netanyahu, when less than 60% of the votes had been counted, to claim victory. I mean, we know that as it stands, the Likud do have the lead, but that lead keeps narrowing and narrowing. So where we are at the moment, at 99.8% of the votes counted, we haven't heard from those counting the quarantine votes, because they were refusing to count them. But
how many votes would that affect, Rolien? Do we know? Is it significant?
It's not a significant amount.
All right.
But still, you know, every vote counts.
Absolutely.
They say, so let's take their word for it. But as we stand now, we have the Likud at 36 seats, the blue and white at 33 seats, and the joint Arab list at 15 seats. And the kingmaker, Avigdor Lieberman, his party, still at 7 seats. But a lot of happenings today, because Netanyahu, the Likud, and his right-wing bloc still only at 58 seats. That is less than the majority needed to, you know, to form a government. So there is a lot of toing and froing, because the prime minister will want to form a government before his trial starts on the 17th. But rumor has it that President Rivlin may only tap him to form a government on the 17th of March. And of course, today, the left hook and uppercut coming from the blue and white, who are going to push the law that will bar an indicted prime minister from serving. And this might get some support from the kingmaker, Avigdor Lieberman. I think he's getting tired of being called the kingmaker. Or maybe he's just sitting in that Game of Thrones chair, not really wanting to budge. But during the election process, or the run-up to the election, this law was pushed forward, and it was largely ignored. This came after the September, the election, but it was largely ignored by most of the Knesset. This time, the blue and white have said they're going to do everything they can to get Netanyahu out of power. They say that for a sitting prime minister to be facing indictment is absolutely untenable. So they're going to push for that, and it remains to be seen who else from the Knesset will support that. And that could significantly change the way things progress from here. Yesterday we had news that the corruption watchdog, they were filing their petition at the High Court also to stop him being able to form a government. So the gloves are off when it comes to Prime Minister Netanyahu. Yesterday, the corruption watchdog saying that you cannot have a situation where you have a prime minister sitting in a court defending his actions in the morning and then convening with his security cabinet in the afternoon. This is a quote from them. So yeah, it's getting hot in here, guys, and I'm not just talking about the weather.
Two questions in that regard, Rolien. Firstly, is it permissible in terms of Israeli legislative rules that a member of the Likud could say cross the floor, for want of a better word, and vote for the opposition in order of to vote against their own leader?
Well, we have had situations where we have had MKs cross the floor to another party, and because we are in such unprecedented territory, we haven't had a situation like this before. Yeah. You know, Ehud Olmert, who was indicted and spent time in jail, he had finished his role as Prime Minister. You know, when we had Katsav also jailed, he had largely finished his term as President, although the President is largely ceremonial and not voted in by the Israeli electorate like the Prime Minister is. So we really are in uncharted territory. We don't know what to expect. We've never had a situation where a sitting Prime Minister could be indicted. The Attorney General just before these elections said that he won't stop Prime Minister Netanyahu should he be successful, and he so far has been in forming a government, but you know, we are in uncharted water, so let's see how we progress.
Just one more comment in that regard, and I'm not a Netanyahu fan, I'm quite public about that, but let's just agree that Israel is a democracy. A vote was had, the people knew what they were voting for and they voted for it anyway, so there's a strong argument to be had that the people have decided, and it's not for the judiciary to overturn a democratic election.
Well, I don't think it's a case of overturning the election. Remember, we don't necessarily just vote for candidates. We vote for parties as well. And
okay.
There's a lot of murmurings among people that would be very happy if Gideon Sa'ar would step up to the plate. You know, we'll have to see how that progresses. But also, there's on the flip side, there's also the concern that one of the things that or one of the concerns from people was that Netanyahu could push forward like a Putin or an Erdogan and make the prime ministership you know, have more clout than the judicial system, and that we also cannot have in a democracy. So we really are in historical times, people. As the Chinese say, not anything about coronavirus, but they do say, may you live in interesting times. And here
okay.
we are.
In interesting times, that's for sure. All right, so let's leave Israeli elections and let's talk about the fact that apparently Serbia is to open a state office in Jerusalem and Congo to send an envoy.
Well, I have to say, sorry, Bernie, but your APEC platform that you say invites bigots has actually done something truly phenomenal as far as bilateral relations are concerned for the state of Israel. We had the Democratic Republic of Congo president addressing the plenary of APEC, and he, in very mellifluous French, said that he looks forward to increasing and warming ties between the two countries, and he will be sending an envoy plenipotentiary, which is just a fancy way of saying ambassador, to set up office in the capital, in Jerusalem. And we've also heard from the president of Serbia, who has said that he's planning to open an official state office in Jerusalem, which is a fancy way of saying embassy. His name is Aleksandar Vučić, and as you all know, I'm very partial to people named Alexander. But he says we are going to open very soon not only an office of our Chamber of Commerce, but together with our Chamber of Commerce, the official state office in Jerusalem with Serbian official flag along with our embassy. And it's our way of showing respect to the Jewish people. And he was roundly thanked by President Rivlin and by our current foreign minister, Israel Katz. So, yeah, it looks like APEC has certainly been very, very fruitful for the state of Israel.
The last issue that you wanted to raise today, I'm so glad you have decided to raise, because I think it kind of flew under the radar in South Africa. I don't think it's had the publicity it should have had, but apparently the Vatican has opened World War II archives. What's the significance of that, Roland?
It's hugely significant. Well, first of all, the Vatican only really open their archives every 70 years, and this is very significant, and they've only really opened it to access for specific historians, but that's okay, or that's beset. As we say in Hebrew. But why it's very significant, because there's a lot of debate about the role of Pope Pius at the time, who was the reigning pope in the Vatican, and his role during the Holocaust. There are some who said, you know, he wasn't silent. He did favor a policy of quiet diplomacy. But the majority say that he was silent, and he, and that the Vatican didn't do nearly enough to save Jewish lives or to do anything concrete to try and stop the Holocaust. So perhaps with the opening of the archives and historians being able to examine this, we'll have a better understanding of the role of the Vatican during the darkest time in our history.
Yeah, that is something that I am certainly fascinated in, and I hope you will keep us updated. Rolene Marks, as always, thank you for your input, and I look forward, as always, chatting to you tomorrow at the same time.
You and me both. God bless.